A reading from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 25. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-aged wine strained clear. And he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the sheet that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces, and the disgrace of his people he will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, Lo, this is our God. We have waited for him so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. This ends our first reading.
From the Gospel of John. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him. Jesus said to her, Your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world. The word of the Lord. It is easy to forget the larger context of short little biblical sayings that we have committed to memory. This familiar declaration of Jesus, I am the resurrection and the life, echoes within the stone walls of this sanctuary, perhaps more than any other, for it finds its way into the liturgy of just about every funeral and memorial service. But only occasionally do we linger over the long drama of the raising of Lazarus, which contextualizes these words. Even today, because of the special music and longer communion liturgy, which recalls the saints of this church who have died in the last year, we have lifted up from the larger story this central tenet of our faith. Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. Through him, we can trust that in life and in death, we belong to God. Whenever Jesus says, I am, he is revealing a whole lot more than a self-description. He is revealing the nature and character of God. We know this because way back when Moses was called into the presence of God at the burning bush, and God told Moses that he had heard the cries of the people who were slaves in Egypt, and he had seen their suffering, and he was sending Moses to rescue them. You remember, Moses said, Who shall I say has sent me to them? Moses wanted to be able to call God by name, to invoke God's authority, to say that the all-powerful one had his back. But all God would tell Moses was, say to the Israelites, I am sent me to you. I am who I am. I will be who I will be. is the only definitive name for God we have ever been given. God is no mere subject or object or noun or pronoun so much as God is a verb. God is made known to us by what God does. So when Jesus arrives in the cemetery where his dear friend Lazarus has been in the tomb for 4 days, we are given a preview of Jesus' own death and resurrection by what Jesus does. Jesus joins Mary and Martha in their grieving. You remember he himself weeps with them. Then he shouts to Lazarus to come out of the tomb. And the miracle of life unfolds and the glory of God is revealed. The life-giving activity of God is made manifest in the person of Jesus Christ. Mary and Martha, the disciples and the crowds are invited to see the new life Jesus represents. So that when Jesus says to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life," the story turns from a sad tale about illness and death to a hopeful one of new life and the presence of God among the people of God. Jesus counters Martha's notion that we will just all be swept up together on the last day by revealing that eternal life has already begun in him when he says, "I am the resurrection and the life." William Sloane Coffin put it this way: "Eternal life begins not at the end of time, nor even at the funeral home, but right now. The abyss of God's love is deeper than the abyss of death. For if we don't know what will be beyond the grave, we do know who will be beyond the grave. And Christ resurrected links the two worlds, telling us that we really live only in one world." Nowhere is that oneness of our two worlds, this life and eternal life, more clearly palpable than when we gather here at the communion table. Every time we gather around this table, we celebrate that mystic sweet communion with the saints who have gone before. And today, when we remember their names, we not only recall our memory of them, but by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we acknowledge their presence. Eternal life for all of us has already begun. And in this sacrament, we make the audacious claim that those who are in Christ, the living now, here and everywhere, and those who have lived in the past and died are all gathered in Christ at this table, present and accounted for in this sacrament, which spans both time and space. "I am the resurrection and the life," Jesus says, inviting us all into the everlasting company of God among the communion of saints. Amen.